thing unrelated to this, and I tried to plan to do this antes. I started a recording for this, so it's a separate recording now. I planned to talk about this before I was apparently nominated for the Ice Bucket Challenge. And the nominator shall go unknown. It was very funny. I think you know that I spoke with you on Monday, and I already mentioned.
I did warn Chaim. I
would have
volunteered myself.
Okay. I wasn't. But I actually had planned to talk about it before. I would like on Thursdays to spend a few minutes in this year to talk about some, I'll call contemporary issues, things that I think that are important, and often things, not cutting-edge issues. That's not what interests me. You'll get on Sundays when you ask questions, you get to ask those. But things that I think are major elements of Judaism in a Jewish community that are not, shouldn't be inherently controversial, but we don't think about it. One comment that I think is, I just want to make generally speaking, and my wife has observed this to me a number of times recently in talking about all sorts of issues, is that to some extent Judaism is countercultural. I think that Yahadus has a lot to offer the broader world. And I think that whenever we have always come in contact with various kinds of societies, we have always been influenced by societies around us, sometimes negatively and sometimes positively. But I think it's often important to step back and to consider really sometimes what are our core values. There was an article in Time magazine in the last couple of weeks about the Ice Bucket Challenge, talking about what charities are going to learn from this. And in the article, they quoted someone... They quoted someone who studies or is an expert on philanthropy who said that this is actually the worst kind of giving. It's impulse giving. And really, it's much more important for people to plan to give. And this really sort of takes me to something that I wanted to talk about generally, about a very, very broad gulf between the Torah's view, and I think it's still it may be changing generationally outside, especially outside of the Orthodox community, but even sometimes inside, and that's a problem. A very different view that the Jewish community traditionally has held of tzedakah versus certainly the American community. I don't know about all parts. I don't think it's true for Christianity inherently, but it's very much true to the American spirit. My understanding, I've never been there, is that the way churches, for the most part, the Catholic Church might be an exception, but the way most American churches collect, you know, support themselves is by passing around the collection plate. And people volunteer to give whatever they want to give. That is not how Jewish communities have traditionally operated, nor how shuls certainly today operate. Shuls have what we call dues, and if you are a member of that shul, you are expected to pay. If you can't pay, so we sort of try to make an accommodation. And that difference actually fundamentally reflects a core difference between tzedakah and charity. The root of charity comes from the Latin word caritas, which implies some type of beneficence on the part of the giver. Tzedakah comes from the root tzedek. You give tzedakah not out of a sense of charity, out of the sense of the goodness of your heart, a sense of kindness. You get it because it is tzedek. It is justice. It is righteous. The Torah, in the opening siman on Hilchos Tzedakah, believe it or not, guys, there is Hilchos Tzedakah. It's in Yerideah. In our printed volumes, it's in the third chelek. What's printed is the third chelek of Yerideah. It's somewhere in the vicinity of the Resh Mems. I think starts at the end of the Resh Mems. The Torah in the opening part there explains that when a person gives tzedakah, a person has to realize that basically when you have property, when you have accumulated money, when you have acquired money, it's something the Ribbono Shalom has given you. It's a pikadon. And if someone gives you money to hold on to, and then they instruct you to do X with the money, it doesn't bother you. If they tell you, if someone gives you money, asks you to, you know, be the executor or to be the trustee, and then they give you instructions that to distribute 50% or 70% or 20% or 10%, it doesn't bother you because you understand that's their money. They gave it to you. Now they're telling you what to do with it. When the Ribbono Shalom gives you money, and then he tells you that you're supposed to give tzedakah, it shouldn't trouble you. It shouldn't pain you. They don't have the money to spend the next, because it's fundamentally a pikadon that was given to you by the Ribbono Shalom, and you're mechuyev to do what the mafkid asked you to do with his money. After that, the mafkid has been very kind to us. He said the rest of it, you're allowed to spend for yourself. And therefore, tzedakah is not simply something done out of the kindness of my heart because I feel compassion for someone. And that's all nice, and those are all things that may aid you in fulfilling your mitzvah tzedakah. There may be benefits to giving tzedakah. You become a more compassionate person. But you give tzedakah because you are obligated to do so. Tzedakah is considered tzedakah whether or not it's given to aniyim, whether it's given to mostos of the community. It is all in the gather of tzedakah. There's halachic literature about that, what takes priority. But the bottom line is a person's obligation. If you daven in a shul and you make use of its facilities, you are obligated to contribute to the shul. It may not matter whether you're technically a member and you're on the rolls. You must contribute. It's a big problem with younger people in this community across the Heights. Students of mine have come talk to me about this issue, where a lot of singles live in the community and they don't support. They daven in the shul on a regular basis. They don't support the shul. That is a fundamental violation of what we understand of pasach tiftach esed chalo. You daven in the shul. The shul has expenses. It has utilities. It has a building. It has a rabbi who people are happy to call the shaylas. You're mechuyev to support that. That's a very most basic obligation. Common sense should tell you that, but if common sense doesn't tell you that, you can look it up. You can look up. You can study hilchot tzedakah in the Shulchan Aruch and understand your basic obligations of tzedakah. There is a great degree of flexibility that one has in the giving of tzedakah, which, as Rav Lichtenstein once pointed out, is not a kula, it's a chumrah. Because to the extent that the halacha gives you very broad guidelines in terms of priorities in tzedakah, but is not specific, you have to exercise your own judgment. And that's not a kula. It places a tremendous responsibility upon you to make thoughtful, intelligent, and careful decisions. In terms of the shiur of tzedakah, and I'll explain why in a moment, the shiur of tzedakah, in an ideally speaking, is 20%. Is a chomesh. Aser asreru lach, double meiser. That's the mida, that's a generous mida. Mida beinunis is meiser ksafim. The absolute minimum chiyuv that everybody, every member of Klal Yisrael must give every year is a shlishas hashekel. If a person cannot afford to give tzedakah, nope, there's nothing they can do. That's the way it is. And that's why if someone wants to become a member of the shul, and the policy has always been a yeshivas in most communities as well, if a person genuinely can't afford to pay the full thing, so they pay less. Now, I will mention this just because I think your stage in life, it's important to consider this. If a person lives on that side of the Heights and davens in Mount Sinai, people say, well, you know, they're single, they work, but they don't have so much money, they can't afford to give. Before you have a cable television subscription, you cancel your subscription and you support the shul. You know, and maybe that you don't need the most fancy cell phone plan or the fanciest cell phone, because supporting the shul is an obligation. You may not be able to afford to give maser ksafim. It is possible that that's the case, but you are not entitled to spend on yourself things that are fundamentally luxuries and not necessities until you've fulfilled at least me the bainerness of tzedakah. It's not appropriate. I don't want to use the terms usr and mutter, but it bespeaks a very deficient component of a Ben Torah when that person fails to understand their basic obligations of tzedakah and obligations to the community. You don't have to give. An ani comes to you, technically speaking, if you know he's an ani, you have to give him a matana katana. If someone from a yeshiva, one of the mostos comes to you and you don't believe in that place, there's no obligation to give there. You can say, thank you, but I support my own yeshivas. That's your choice. But an ani is a different story. When we learn in Bikias later in the Masech that there's a chunk of Hilchos Tzedakah that's in the sixth parak, we'll see a little bit of the interesting things about an ani who comes to ask for tzedakah. And in this vein, I wanted to mention just a couple of other things. One of the klalim of tzedakah is that ani e'ircha, ani e'racheres, ani e'ircha kodman. There is a problem. You know, there was when they started the Yeshivat Mayan Notes in Teaneck, which is a very important high school, and it's done sort of, in some ways, in this country, has been a little bit of a trailblazer in certain respects. So I remember that the people complaining about raising funds commented that if we were to move Mayanot over the Green Line in the West Bank, we could raise the money like that. And the fact is, it's not just over the Green Line, but even to Eretz Yisrael. Now, Eretz Yisrael may occupy a certain place in terms of tzedakah, but the first priority is inside your community. I know when Rav Schechter spoke in Bergenfield a few years ago, he made a comment that like 75 or 80% of your money needs to stay in your community. I think that shiur is a made-up shiur, but the sentiment is a fundamentally correct one. I don't think there's a real marker for a specific number, but the bottom line is you see people who give money to yeshivas that they don't even believe in outside the community and other communities, and their own yeshivas know that they all of a sudden they're not interested in supporting them. And here I will sort of close with one really important point, the discussion of yeshiva tuition. And this is a serious issue that the community faces. And some ways the community has failed to respond early enough to this crisis, but I want to just make one observation. On some level, in fact, not some level, your yeshiva that you send your children to is not a tzedakah, it's an obligation. A person who can't afford to give tzedakah after paying yeshiva tuition, assuming you pay the yeshiva tuition, is pater from giving maaser ksafim because he can't afford it. But your first obligation, your first responsibility, are your obligations. And a person should not be giving tzedakah to other mostos when he's not paying full freight for his children in his yeshiva. And there are people who, and again, this relates to not just tzedakah, but the obligations one has to one's community. You hear of all sorts of shenanigans that people pull so they can avoid paying yeshiva tuition. This is a basic chol chov upon a person. And when you shirk your responsibility, you are basically shifting. When people apply and get scholarship that they really don't need because they're spending money on things that they don't need to spend money on, what they are essentially doing is stealing from the community. Because basically, if you don't pay it, then someone else has to pay it. If a person genuinely can't afford it, then yeah, that's true. And the community, as a general rule, lies a lot of it at the feet of the rabbinate that's failed to deal with this problem as it was starting to emerge. The community has to deal with the problem that it's going to face the tuition affordability. But as a yachid, if your mamish can't afford something, then it's legitimate, right? But as soon as you're taking a vacation somewhere, that you can't be asking al pi din and al pi musar. You can't be asking for the community to subsidize your aspect of lifestyle. You don't need to drive a fancy car. Again, if you pay yeshiva tuition and you give your at least ma'aser k'safim, then Ribbono Shel Olam gave you the pikadon, you can do what you want with it. You know, we might agree or disagree with some people's choices. There are all sorts of other halachos that govern how people spend their money, starting with Hilchos Tznius. But in terms of a strict letter of the law, once a person has paid his cholos and has given his ma'aser k'safim after that, so then a person has the right to spend on luxuries for him or herself. But until a person has fulfilled his basic obligations to the community, so to shirk those responsibilities really is an act of gezel. It's stealing mammon from the rabbin. And so I think that it's very, this is an issue that's not spoken about. Hilchos tzedaka, you know, if you're looking, if you have a little extra time and you're not interested in doing, you're doing bikias, but you want to do something else to supplement your learning, you can open up a tour in a Beis Yosef on your Yoredeya, you can learn Hilchos tzedaka, because there is what to be said about that. We don't talk about this, we don't teach this, but tzedaka is, as we read last Shabbos, ki fasoach tiftach es yadcha lo, the mitzvah of tzedaka is a basic mitzvah, it's one of the Targum mitzvahs. It's not just if I feel good about it, it's not charity, it's not caritas, it is tzedakah. It is tzedek, tzedek, tzedek. So I think, again, most of you are not in the position where you certainly have much, you know, you genuinely don't have spare money in terms of that you can do much in the way of tzedakah. Your shlishas ha-shekel, I don't know how much that is, but you can probably, you know, go on Google and figure out how much it weighs and how much that amount of silver is. It's probably not a tremendously large amount of money. It's something that you should certainly strive to be giving. And if you happen to earn money and your college tuition is being paid for by your parents or by YU, whatever else it is, and you are earning income, then you should be giving ma'aser k'safim, at least, if not chomesh k'safim, but at least ma'aser k'safim. Because tzedakah is exactly that. Travis.